Podcasting 2.0 for December 22nd, 2023, episode 160, Forced Choice. Well, hello, better late than never. Hello, everybody. It's time once again for Podcasting 2.0, the official board meeting of everything going on in podcasting today and in the future. We are, in fact, the only boardroom that has red velvet beanbags after dark. Everything happening at podcastindex.org, the namespace, all the goings-on at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. The man who's got a big stream deck and knows how to use it. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Oh, I've got the sweetest rig, dude.
Do you have the sweetest rig?
Yes.
Your rig is so sweet.
The stream deck, courtesy of Adam Curry Christmas present.
I'm so happy.
Right in front of the Rodecaster Duo, which now the Rodecaster Duo is elevated on a stand.
Ooh, it's like it's got its own special little spot. Well, hold on. I have something special here on my own stream deck. That's right, everybody. Welcome to Boardroom After Dark. That's right, baby. Enjoy our red velvet beanbags over there. We got Davey sitting down there with his big stream deck. And down under, you know he's upside down. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to our friend on the way other end, Mr. Kyron Down.
Hey, hey, I am buzzing.
You're buzzing, but you got to chill, buzzing. Man. You're in the boardroom after dark. Right, it's like we got the porn music going. It's like, you know,
I'm so happy right now. I was hoping that you would get some after dark music. It's in my bones. I knew that you were going to do this.
And I see the boardroom is hello, boardroom. That's right. Stephen B kicking back. That's right, man. That's right. Want a toke? Way to go.
How hot is it in Australia, Kyron? Is it 1,000 degrees?
At this very moment, it's not too bad. We've had a bit of rain coming, so it's, I don't know, like high 20s, something like now, that.
Are you degrees. In?
I don't know what that's Fahrenheit.
Are you in Bris Vegas or where are you? I forget where you are.
I'm definitely in Bris Vegas, yes.
Yeah, it's a heat wave. It's a heat wave there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it definitely was feeling a bit. It's mostly muggy. It's just the humidity getting close to the tropics.
It's so weird, man. It's like Christmas must just be messed up.
I've never had a white Christmas or a cold Christmas. I've always been in. I was in Colombia for one of them, which was just moderate.
Oh yeah, so, I hear about those white Christmases in Colombia.
It actually took about 4 hours from me landing there to me being offered cocaine. So
it was a little slow. A little slow by Colombian standards.
You must not have looked the part.
No. Oh,
that's funny. Oh, man. Yeah, that's the thing, Cotton Gin. 20 degrees C is 68 Fahrenheit.
That's right.
But the screwy thing about centigrade is that like every 0.1 goes up like 5,000 degrees. So like when you go from 20 to like 20.8, you're at like, you know, you're boiling water.
It's confusing. I liked Kelvin when we were in high school.
Hanging out inside stars, are you?
Yes.
So this is our year end. Are we going to do one more before the end of the year, Dave? Are we done? Are we not going to do one next Friday? No, what is next Friday?
I'm good with next Friday.
Why are we doing this special thing with Kyron right now? Why are we doing this?
Because Kyron's great.
Oh, okay. Yes, Kyron. Kyron, were you by any chance able to watch the V4V live concert down under?
Yes and no. So I caught the first one, the Bitcoin meetup one, where it was just Ainsley. So yeah, I definitely was able to participate in that. Funnily enough, right at this moment, I had organized to chat with Sir TJ the Wrathful.
Oh.
So for this exact time. And then you guys messaged, so I was like, oh, TJ, you mind putting it a day earlier?
We bumped TJ.
Bumped TJ a day earlier. So we were actually recording that as Ainsley's second one was going on. So no, I didn't catch the
Okay,
second.
So Sir TJ the Wrathful is going to be on the Mere Mortals podcast?
Correct. Yeah.
Oh, nice. I love that guy. I don't even know what he looks like. I love that whole family. There's a lot of them.
There's so many of
there's
them.
There's like a million Dorfels. That's there's so. I got an email from Tom Dorf. I'm like, who is Tom? I'm like, I know like Curtis. I know TJ. Then you know what's the dog? What's the kid? The kid's name? J Dog. Yeah. Well,
Melissa always says when somebody has a whole ton of kids, like they must think that they're really like the world needs a lot of them or something. They must think they're really important.
Well, TJ did a really good, you know, when you list off like the alphabet as fast as you can, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. He did that with all the names of his siblings, and it took like a minute.
Dave, were you able to catch any of the live shows?
Yes, I did not. So the first one that was
from the meetup
Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first one we were at the movies with friends and I fired up Podcast Guru, checked in like about, I don't know, about 10 minutes into the movie and looked at it and made sure that I was getting a video stream, set mm-hmm. my sats to 1,000 per minute and just sat it in the seat beside me.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool.
Covered up. So I'm cool. Like, I just want to stream sats. I'm not going to be able to watch it. But then I saw some of last night's and it was killer, man. It seemed to be working on all the apps perfectly. I'm so happy.
On both of them, there was a back channel Telegram group. It was kind of like David in the cave with 400 and Adenal, you know,
with this getting ready, prepping for
prepping to go to war against King Saul,
lathering up the slings.
Yes, it was an unbelievable show of camaraderie, solidarity, it took me back to the very first Cybercast I did, which was not even a thing in 1996. And we did the Grammys and we brought a T1 line into the Shrine Auditorium. No one had ever heard of that before then. And,
T1.
Oh yeah. T1. Oh my God. That's fast. That's broadband. one megabit per second, but up and down both ways. And it was just the amount of collaboration. And we had, we had Dovydas in Lithuania because he was, I guess, back home, getting his visa sorted out or whatever. he was back. He was up and all night until 7 in the morning, both nights. Sam Sethi was in the UK, Oscar Mary in the UK. We had just it was like iron sharpens iron, man. It was so beautiful how everybody was participating. And this, it was so much learning, really, just to see how everything fit together. I mean, we had a live wallet switching. The value blocks were switching, which was balanced between Ainsley and Just Loud. I'm talking about the second night. So they both got sats for each other's show, but they, the percentages differed, whoever was on stage. And let me read, because we had a whole post-mortem today in the same Telegram group. And
I feel left out. I feel like, I mean, you're in a top secret group.
All this is going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was links all over the place.
Room,
yeah. Well, it felt like a Boobery was on site and, we finally got a picture of Boobery. He's like, this like teenager in Vans.
I saw him. Boobery was rad.
Devin. So Julie Costello, Ainsley's mom, she of course was all over this thing. And I'll read to you what she wrote. I'll skip over some of the number stuff, but she said,
"Okay,
thank you all madly, deeply, sincerely from the bottom of our Costello hearts. Worldwide team of ragtag developers in both RSS and Noster, with a touch of friendly competition, made the dreams of one young artist come true. And maybe just set in motion a music revolution like we've never seen before. Filled with lots of hustle, heart, and even a little humility, we all pulled off a Christmas miracle in Minneapolis. I don't have the visibility into JL's numbers, but I know everyone will eagerly be awaiting some early results. And so she gave us a total over between RSS and Noster. And okay. I have a lot of thoughts about Noster after this evening. So RSS night one, 3,650,868 sats. Wow. Noster, 3,262,953 sats. There was a fiat donation, which converted to 443,970. So I, someone just showed up with that. Night one total, 7,357,791 sats. Night two, RSS, 2,444,976. Noster, 1,824,775. So for a grand total, then she, what she did is she added the, you know, nearly 4,000 sats since Ainsley arrived on the V4V scene in July. She has made $6,742 compared to, so that's since July, compared to $750 on traditional streaming in over 4 years.
And she, said,
and she says, we are incredibly grateful to each and every person that stepped in with their time, treasure, and talent to make V4V come to life. And I get choked up about this stuff. I don't cry at death or anything like when there's accomplishment, that's when I get choked up. And when I saw the value block with 11 or 12 splits, everybody was included. You know, Julie made sure that everyone who was, even though the apps, of course, have their own, you know, fees or percentages that they take on streams and boosts, she added everybody in. And I was blown away. Like, who knew that video worked everywhere? I mean, this, what is going on? Video just kind of works. And It was the Noster side had Toonster.io. And
yes, which I didn't know was a thing until yesterday.
Now, I like Toonster.io because it does something that we on the RSS side do very poorly, which is it shows a running total of what, you know, their zaps with a message. So it just, you know, so you're watching the video or you'd be listening, but watching the video in this case, and you see very much like a GoFundMe, you know, how GoFundMe, if you go there and you see just people with donation amounts and there's no other interactivity other than someone maybe responding to someone with their own zap. And there were people coming in with 100,000 sat boosts. There were people coming in with, in fact, at one point, just grab a little audio here for a second. I have, they already put it up on the archive. Let me go. So she was doing live boostograms. I'll just give an example here.
While you're changing over, we had some more boosts come through. Marty Bent. What is this? Through
Fountain, who's that talking?
Boom, I'm not sure.
For 50,000 sats.
That's Booberry.
Booberry, okay.
Is that Booberry? Yeah, I thought so.
Sats from Anonymous. 1776 from NW through Fountain saying live, love, laugh, lightning. I need a bell out here.
Yeah.
Reading boosts in a concert.
That's five right. Not boosting is a red flag. Watch yourselves.
Now, let me give you the last of the. She had several segments.
We might have an announcement.
Yeah, so this was almost that. She had one more song. She was going to do Cherry on Top, and then this happened.
We've had just several. I sat here and boosted 50,000 sats from front of house.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
We had 666 from Carolyn saying it's a very exclusive dance party in the kitchen right now.
Yeah. So perfect.
Here it comes.
So there have been so many people who have made this night possible, and again, we've got more.
Wow. Let me count the zeros. It goes one. Okay, so 1, 0, 2, 0, 3, 0, 4, 0, 5, 0, 6 zeros. Six zeros. How big of a boost is that?
Is that a million sats?
I think that is a million.
Holy cow!
So Anonymous came in with a million sat boost at the end there. I mean, it was, and this is, let's see, was this, I think this might have been the Minneapolis night. I can't remember. I mean the meetup night. Regardless, this is kind of what it was. And the second night, Just Loud came on. It was great to see him. He looked every part, every bit of the part I expected.
Oh, total.
I mean, it's like Prince, James Brown, and Lenny Kravitz had a kid. You know, they had an orgy, and out popped this guy. That was really fantastic. So. Value for value really won because, of course, there was a little bit of a, you know, hey, you know, the Noster guys, there's more coming in from Noster. There's more from RSS, back and forth, back and forth. But obviously the whole concept, and I think between Noster and the value for value 2.0 teams, if you want to put it that way, you know, we both love Bitcoin. We both, or at least the mechanism that Bitcoin provides, and of course we love value for value. What was I think really interesting, and a lot of learning here. There was a whole postmortem that kind of just happened today, as everyone was, you know, just reviewing, and people starting to wake up all over the place, and you know what really happened here. And there was this question about. How do Noster and RSS work together? You know, it's like, should we be working together? Should we not be working together? Oscar Mary jumped in with, you know, pointer to his Noster NIP 32 proposal about connecting Zaps to Boosts and having these translations for the splits in the middle, which was really interesting. But And this is, so I kind of want to take the discussion here because I've been thinking so much about that and comments and boostograms and all these things that we've been looking at for the past couple of years. And, and you know, considering that Noster right now is basically a social network, although the Noster, do we call it a protocol or what do we call the protocol?
It's a protocol.
Yeah. Okay. Although that can be used for many other things, it's a social network. I mean, that's even in Oscar Mary's proposal. It's a social network. And, you know, we've been publishing, what's the actual tag called for comments? We call it social interact.
Social interact.
Yeah. So we've been publishing social interact and, you know, it's some of the apps show it. You can't actually respond from the apps. And I've also been doing this soul searching and analysis of social media in my life and in general. And so there's two parts to it. One is I saw Twitter from day one when it was supposed to be a podcast company and they launched, but they launched as this micro blogging site all the way through what it is today with a transfer of ownership. You know, once they got rid of the fail whale and all that stuff, it became this, you know, the social media. But there's a change of ownership and things have changed. And I've also, you know, almost 7 years ago, I think I started noagendasocial.com, which is a Mastodon social media site. And I've come to the conclusion that without an obvious adult in the room, someone with power or, you know, some rules and regulations, it all becomes shit. It really does. It becomes toxic. It's horrible. And No Agenda Social, this has happened. You know, I gave up all control and, you know, we have, Erner who's running it. He doesn't do anything and I can't post anything because people just, you know, they think it's funny. Whatever, it's all, you know, it's not really nice. And it's the same as any comments. And I kind of understand Dave Weiner never wanting to have comments on his blog. I mean, it would trigger him.
Yeah, he would do it for a little while and then turn it off and say, go write your own blog post.
Right. And Twitter is kind of the same thing. I mean, I've really made a study of Twitter over the past few days. And I see people killing each other, shooting each other, playing mean jokes, you know, trolling, yelling. It's shit. It's unchecked. It's just shit. And I'm really stepping back from the comments idea. You know, you have to have moderation. There's all these things that come into play. And I think inherently, the app developers feel this, and that's why they really haven't taken that extra. We have it all there. It can work. know, we can blame Activity Pub, but it's not Activity Pub.
Well, it's already fully operational on No Agenda Tube. I mean, the pieces are there. You have this experience. It's not like there's a lack at all.
Correct. And so right now, Noster, so the thinking is, well, Noster can be the social piece to podcasting 2.0. And I'm just going to say, no, nothing should be the social piece. Because right now, Noster is everyone is kind of like-minded. Everyone's in the same vibe. But go ahead and go on there and talk about Podping built on Hive and see what happens.
You won't last 5 minutes.
No, you won't last 5 minutes. So as that grows, that too will become toxic. Unless they keep it what it is, and that's very possible that it just remains that. But that's not really growth. Mm-hmm. But what I like is they've got wallets, and the promotion they were doing for this concert was spectacular. They were promoting it. People were, I don't know what you call it there, but they were reposting, they were jacking each other up. And of course, with your Noster login, you could go to tunster.io and, the mechanism flowed right over and people could zap. Now, there's no concept of splits, which I think is a problem. I've looked at Oscar's proposal, and his proposal includes a payment verification, which references a payment verification by some semi-trusted provider like Podcast Index, Fountain, Albi, CurioCaster, Podverse, Wavelake, RSS.com, etc. And I will say, no, that's a very bad idea. And I've never really did this proposal, so I'm just now diving into it. That you don't want to be a money forwarder at all from a regulation standpoint, and you don't want to, you do not want that when a payment fails, someone's going to blame you. This is not the way to go. Noster, if they want to do splits, they should figure out their own splits. What I liked a lot was the experience they showed with, their version of Boostagrams on a page. And man, do I want this for our apps. I really think, what Fountain does with, you're able to comment on it, doesn't really matter to me. But the idea that under, as an episode is playing, right now I've kind of hijacked Boostagrams into chapters. It's 50-50. People who are on apps where it shows up as in the table of contents when it shouldn't, they're pissed off. They're actually people who see it, switch when they're driving in the car and they get pissed off. But the idea of surfacing Boostagrams, I think, is a very, very powerful idea. I think that is what the Noster people showed us, how powerful that is, just like GoFundMe. It's just a little acknowledgement. You put your little note in there and it just kind of scrolls off. And I think we should really, and I have ideas about it, but I'll stop talking. I think that was very, very powerful. And as far as Noster and podcasting 2.0, I think it's great that we can do projects like this together. I think it's great for value for value. It's great for the artist. If you want to send Boostagrams, zap your wallet, zap your podcast app and send a Boostagram. I don't see this connection working at all. And I think it's unnecessary. And I personally, I don't want social comments in my connected to my podcast. It's all triggering me just thinking about it.
I think we also need to make a distinction between live things and podcasts.
Yes, and totally.
Live events like this, I think a lot of this has been worked out slowly over time on other platforms. So like YouTube, we can like YouTube or not, but they've been through a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. As far as user experience goes, the user experience of YouTube is if you have a live stream, there's ephemeral chat in the live stream.
And I love chat. I love chat and no one's implemented it really.
Right. And so then, we're going to do that in I mean, phase seven is chat.
Is that XMPP? Is that because, you know, the IRC chat is great, but, you know, people need to set up IRC chat for it to work.
Yeah. I mean, I think XMPP is going to be the first class citizen.
I
mean,
I agree.
Like with all this stuff, with all these tags, you know, we try first and foremost to make the tag accept future proof so that it accepts any protocol.
Yeah.
The problem with namespaces in the past with podcasting is they tied themselves to a specific protocol in a lot of instances. So we really got to avoid that. The chat tag has to be just like social interact. It has to be flexible enough to when the next big thing comes along, you just rip and replace. You just plug that thing in and it goes.
Yeah.
So, but as far as like you need a sandbox to start in to prove the things work and to test and do all that kind of stuff. And XMPP is probably the first class citizen for that. It makes the most sense to me. But, you know, go ahead.
What I felt about the chat, because we had an Ainsley Live room on the IRC server that everybody uses. That was very exciting. It was, and that's a lot of what that Twitch does. That that's what your YouTube Live does. And this is available. I'm CurioCaster has it, I believe, as the only one. I think for live, that is almost a requirement to have that. And I love that because it's, as you say, it's ephemeral, you know, and I don't mind it when we do no agenda, people are like saying horrible things, but it scrolls away. You know, it's like, it's not there forever. It's gone. And that's fine. So I would love to have chat included in all of the live stuff and in the apps themselves. I think that's something that everybody could come together on.
But, and it could be Nostr too, if the Nostr people want care to do it. But it's like, just like the value tag, the social interact tag, the chat tag, all these tags are, if somebody cares enough about their pet protocol to put it in there and make the proof of concept and show that it works, go for it. There's nothing stopping you.
Right.
The focus that, you know, Bitcoin and ActivityPub and XMPP, these sort of things that we choose to have as proof of concepts out of the gate to show like a sort of the first class citizen stuff, those are because they're the things that are most time tested. They've been through the ringer and we know they work and there's lots of experience with their development.
Yeah.
But and it's stuff that we know as a community. So that stuff is, but nothing stops you. So like eventually over time, what's going to win as far as a protocol, what becomes the protocol for podcast ephemeral chat will be whatever the community shifts towards. Whatever the community puts its weight behind, that's what will win. Mm-hmm. And we can't control that. I mean, you know, it's like, diverting for a second, the feeling I had, it was an interesting feeling watching these live streams happen because like I wasn't really involved at all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, I love this. We had nothing to do with it. It was all other people. That was a win.
I know. Like it's like we birthed a child, and the child
felt a lot like that. I agree.
Grew up
and did some stuff and took the training wheels off
to college. Yeah. You know, and like we're like, oh, you know, and we went and watched the graduation ceremony. I mean, like it was
totally.
But at the same time, it was such a weird experience to have such a monumental event where there wasn't a bunch of people depending on me for like support and doing all these stuff. It was sort of a brain twist. But I loved it at the same time. And that's what, if your project and if the project is successful in all of its different endeavors and attempts and goals, one of the things we can expect is that things are going to happen and people are going to begin to use these things in ways that we can't
even
dictate.
Dream up. Yeah. No, we don't want to dictate it at all.
And we can't control it. Yeah. No. We can't say, you know, this is the protocol you're supposed to use, because like we can say this is the protocol we use as far as like me personally, my protocol, that I prefer. But if somebody wants to go off and do something different, I mean, you can't stop them. That's the nature of open source.
Here's what it felt like to me. It felt to me like Toonster should have been the video source inside the apps with their chat, except the chat would be a split on the boost button. Does that make sense?
I think I follow you.
So if I hit a boostagram, so I would be watching this video in an app, and then I hit a boostagram, and the splits fire off, and there's an extra split there that hits the Toonster.io system, which I don't know if they accept Keysend or not. Because they got nothing. See, this is the thing. The Nosser, it's all 100% to the artist's wallet. You know, the Toonster got nothing out of it, which breaks my heart.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Chat appearing in the video, or was that underneath?
Gotcha. Just like a GoFundMe, you know, and very similar to Fountain's, although Fountain switches the screen, this is just video right in the middle, and underneath it, you see the zaps coming in. And I'm like, that's a YouTube-like experience. That's an experience, and people like that. And I saw people zapping and saying something to another person who would just zap, then it kind of scrolls off. So that was very chat-like. Although I don't think... See, personally, I like our chat because people can chat and just say stuff. And then when you hit a boost, then the boostagram, the boost bot comes to life and it shows it in the chat. I love that. That, to me, is the perfect way to do it. It's just all
the IRC experience of what happens on this show is excellent. It just needs to be ported over to something that's, well, portable. I mean, like, you know, so to finish that thought on YouTube, the YouTube thing evolved into live videos having ephemeral chat, and then non-live videos, it's comments.
Right.
And we already have comments, but you don't have to see them if you don't want to.
Right.
Like I like the way that I like the sort of ethic that evolved when Guilherme and that crew put ActivityPub comments into the podcast index site. The sort of ethic was they're not visible by default. You have to choose to go into the comments.
Right.
And that doesn't mean everybody has to do that. Maybe that doesn't fit with your app idea, but it's just that, like, I think it sort of blunts some of those concerns you have with the comment stuff that you can live with this stuff all day long and you never see the comments, mostly until you choose to go there.
Right.
But then ephemeral chat, like it has a lot of, it doesn't have the downsides that long-term commenting social networking does.
Agreed.
So it feels more safe in a sense when you're doing something like a live stream. But, you know, it's like the podcast chat tag is going to have to sort of have that in mind where this is primarily a live stream mechanism. It doesn't mean that it has to be exclusively, but it's primarily that's where the idea lives.
So then there's the second part, and this is unique to podcasting 2.0. And I was very wrong about this. I really, really, really want to surface my boostagrams in the app, in every app. I really want to surface them. I see that as a huge benefit. I think it's I've been looking at Fountain for a long, long time, and there's no toxicity. I don't need to be able to comment on it. That's okay. I just want people to see the boostagrams that have come in. I want them to be available on all of the podcast apps, which to me there's a lot of ideas floating around. I love a boost bot service. You know, and it should be just like chapters or just like transcripts. It should just be yet another tag where there's an external file, and whether I pay someone as a service like Hypercatcher or whether I rip it out of Helipad or do something, whatever it is, I would. And I'm I think I'm going to have to propose a tag for that because I really, really enjoy that experience.
Well, Boost, I think it's worth distinguishing between the two different ways of using the podcasting apps as well, because when I first came to podcasting 2.0 and I heard about cross app comments, I was jazzed because I thought it would replicate an experience kind of like YouTube and their comments, which I think are really cool. But then I was thinking about it and, you know, why are you going to the YouTube comments? It's probably because you're slightly bored with the video. And so you're looking for something to do. And so you go down. And I don't think that's how most people use a podcast app, but you know, they'll turn it on. And even if it's on, the phone is still on and they're in their kitchen, you know, cooking, which is something that I do. It's not like I'm bored and I'm needing to go down to try and find some, whether it be more information or someone else's reaction to it or anything like that. The live stuff is completely different, obviously, and that because that is so active and you're yes. wanting to participate, you're trying to do something. So obviously having, you know, a live chat, something that's really visible. But yeah, I've kind of changed my tune on that as well, which is Boostergrams and people willing to pay money to write something. And you notice with the Boostergrams as well, that they're very different than the YouTube
very type different.
Comments.
Yeah, very like
they're not chasing clout by writing the funniest joke or the wittiest thing to get more uplikes or anything like that on it. So yeah, I definitely think the Boostergrams are good.
What was interesting last night is that people would be sharing screenshots of Fountain, and Fountain had only had a web experience and it was audio. But people were sharing that screen because it showed you the Boostergrams coming in and it showed you the total. You see, there's something there that is different from comments. It's different from chat. It's a third thing. It's something different. And it's unique. It's unique to our apps. I'm going to have to propose this tag. I don't know if I figure out how to write a proposal, but
well, you know, what's interesting. So part of the reason I started live streaming video during our show, just kind of as a learning experience and also really primarily to help Alex test no agenda.
I thought it was to pick up chicks.
That's not working.
Yeah, everybody, there's Dave Jones on the live streams. Look at him, ladies. Is he hot or what? He's smoking.
A boardroom after dark. Yeah, and so like to help Alex with test no agenda tube and have that be a sandbox. But then like as I've been doing it, I thought I've sort of started to have like more respect for.
Sorry.
Oh, we can hear that.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was trying to open the Boostergrams and Curiocaster was still running. Sorry.
I've started to understand sort of the complexities around all this and have a little bit more respect for how much of a challenge it is, you know, and I'm on No Agenda Tube right now in their chat room. I have that pulled up in a separate window on the screen and I'm seeing it. It's just like IRC. Mm-hmm. It's there's an XMPP boost bot that's in the chat room on NoAgendaTube.
Yep.
And when somebody boosts, it shows up. It is super chat. It is literally doing the thing that we want.
Now it's not connected to the IRC or is that also connected to it? Cause you can connect that with XMPP, can't you?
Yeah, I think so. But that's like, it's being fed. These things are being federated into through bridge, you know, they're being bridged.
Right.
So this experience. Okay. So this is something I was thinking about today too. The other thing that I took away from this whole week was if it was the right, let me say it this way. It was the right decision to slow down the namespace.
Amen.
It really was because we ran fast for like two solid years without any let up. And then for the last 6 months or so or more, we've really slowed things down. And I think that was that was fruitful because it let everybody just concentrate on the thing that they needed to concentrate on catching up and refining. Like, look at what Fountain did with their 1.0 release.
Yeah.
Look at what Podcast Guru is done with their value time, with their value support. You know, look at what Podverse has done by getting out. Yeah. There's so much that they have now begun to refine because we slowed down the frantic pace. So I think that all these pieces are there. Now it's just a matter of the giving the apps time to put these things, put the pieces into play. They can, you know, because that takes time. I thought the Oscar interview on the latest Pod News Weekly Review was really good.
Very
because
good.
He said, yeah. And he was like, we were frantically adding features and the UI just got, it became a mess. So we had to go and just basically rewrite the entire UI to make all of this make sense. Because if you're just adding, it's like one of, you know, a house that you just add onto over time, it looks like a big, you know, freaky weird thing. You have to renovate and then just kind of start from a fresh template. And I think that's really important. Now, I think 2024, we need to head into phase 7 and look at some of these things. But I see the phase 7 tags, like the chat tag, that's real. I think some of these things we're going to be doing next year are going to be things that are complementary to what's already there. I don't think it's going to be any more of this frantic pace stuff. I think we can, I think we're going to have time to work these things out in a way where the app developers can catch their breath. But like I said, I'm looking at No Agenda Tube. I'm looking at IRC, both on the same screen, and they're literally doing the thing we want.
Yeah. Kyron.
So it's there.
Kyron, way in here, brother.
Yeah, I mean, like, with the social media stuff, I was just going to say, like, I can't add much because I had none from 2013 to 2019. And then the way I use it is just I use it to, like, advertise, post. I'm not big into that whole world. I think the live chat and the focusing on that, at least for me personally as a podcaster, has been really fun, and I'm really enjoying doing that, and it's kind of completely changed how I run my podcast now. Instead of recording them 7 days in advance and really trying to clean them up and put them out, not that I was doing too much editing anyway, but that was just due to video, and I've changed my tune on video. So
so dig in on that, Kyron, because you've done video for a long time, so you've been in the video world. How do you, like, what if, so if you're going to take, I think, let me ask this question just to figure out how to ask this. Your video, what you expect from video is probably like it is with all of us. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's probably in your head. You just see the YouTube experience. Do you, if you were to sort of translate that into what you would expect the experience to be as a podcaster in an app, what would you see?
I think you just have to realize that they're different things. Like if you want to be a YouTuber, sure, go for it and go ahead, but it's really hard to be a good YouTuber and a good podcaster at the same time. I'm not even sure you can. Some people can kind of get away with it, kind of the Lex Friedmans, the Joe Rogans, but it's, you know, that's really, really hard to do. And it's almost, I think for most people, like you have to kind of pick one of them, to be honest. And so then if you're doing that, I'm not sure you'd actually want a lot of the YouTube replication in podcasting apps, because it is different. So just for example, like, doing a live episode with the YouTube, you have to focus on a lot more things. Like the video can get out of sync with the audio. It's got its own separate chat system if you're trying to do it on YouTube or Twitch or anything like that. And this is where it's just like, I would kind of say you, there's so many aspects of video that are great, but they're probably good at just being video. And so when it comes to replicating things of the live chat, for example, in a podcasting app, I just don't know if you need as much as is there. I think kind of like you were saying, an IRC chat is pretty good, and some boostergrams, that's something that we do really well, obviously, and that YouTube doesn't have as much. You know, they've got the super chats, I guess, but I don't really see that used as much as the podcasting apps do.
Do y'all want to hear Todd? I brought clips of the new media show. I don't know if you heard it this week.
You know, I was in the car driving back. Let me just wrap this up for 1 second. I have one more thing to say.
Oh yeah, sure.
I have such deep appreciation for Julie Costello, Jim Costello, of course, Ainsley, Just Loud, his team, who I don't know. Thank you. Thank you for trusting us. Thank you for the hours of phone calls with everybody. That's Julie mainly. Thank you for the 10,000 word emails. Thank you for trusting one of the most precious things you have, your daughter, to this group of nut jobs. That could have gone horribly wrong in so many ways. Also, you know, thank you to the venue. Thank you to Open Mic of Avenue One. Thank you to the Noster people who were all a part of this. It, for me personally, this was a huge, huge thing that we are. You know, this was like Moon Guy launch. I want my V for V is what I was, all I could think of the whole time. It's like, I've seen this revolution happen. I've been a part of this in the 80s. And now something new is happening. And I'm with you, Dave. I'm like, the kids are off to college. This is great. We're here, but, you know, when you're out of money and, you know, you're hungry, we're going to send you a care package. We're going to send you some clothes for the winter.
You need rent. Okay.
You need rent money. Yeah. You know, we're here. Yeah. We're here for you. But I think everyone's graduated, and congratulations to everybody. And believe me when I say that the value block and the splits is, that is what keeps us all together. That is what has made this successful, because even if it's just 1%, when I saw that value block, that Julie was very specific. She wanted to make sure everybody was in there, and how Dovidas was, you know, pod ping, boom, switching the value block live. My head was exploding. How beautiful that was. Now, did it work everywhere perfectly? No, not yet. But we have created something really. Look, MTV sucked in the early days. There's all kinds of things wrong, you know, all kinds of, you know, black screens and stuff not starting, and I could go into how why that all happened. You know, it was all basically Betamax tapes. I mean, the whole thing was chewing gum and gaffer tape, and we're kind of in that same place. But man, do we have a future, and I'm so appreciative of everybody who worked on this. And it was just, I was just jumping for joy. I mean, there were tears coming down my face when Ainsley is reading off boostergrams. I couldn't believe it. And the video working everywhere. I mean, who needs, what's this bull crap about video? It works. I don't know how that happened, but all of a sudden video works in my apps. I'm like, okay, it's there. It was beautiful.
It didn't just work. It was like crisp, beautiful, like,
yes,
spotless.
Yes. And the audio, thank you, the audio was killer. You know, just everything was stellar. I can't wait for what everyone's gonna do next, and really the whole music side of this, you guys, I love you so much for taking this leap of huge faith, and I'm glad that it worked. You know, we all know that it's Dreb Scott, basically, who funded the whole thing. We know how it works. We know he was boosting everyone.
one hundred thousand sats after another, just boom, boom.
Yeah, boom, boom, boom. And you know, and don't discount those streaming stats. You know, there's more people like Dave Jones sitting in the theater streaming 1,000 sats a minute. You know, it's not just about the boosts. Anyway.
Is the biggest difference, you think, the value for value component? Is that what really differentiates it from a YouTube experience or a Twitch experience or a
totally
even just a podcasting.
Well, totally, yeah. Because well, there's it differentiates it from Nostr, differentiates from everything. The whole idea that everybody who's participating gets a piece of value sent back directly from the people who are enjoying the content or the value they're receiving. That's it. That's yeah. why we're still together. That's
everybody why. Everybody misses, not everybody, many people miss a component of value for value because it's multiple things all at once. And a lot of people miss one piece or the other.
Even Booberry says the lighting designer even got a split.
See, that's the thing. It's like that's the part that I won't say the quote Nostr people because I don't think that's fair. But that's on the Nostr side of things. They haven't caught the importance of that yet, which is the full stack. Everybody gets a cut.
Yes.
If you can't do it that way, it doesn't work. It doesn't because people give up. If you can't, the value flow doesn't always even have to be monetary, but that's one clear expression that you can do. Because if people are participating, this happens with everything. People come and go, you know, in a project, in open source, you'll have one person that just works their butt off for months. They don't get anything for it other than the enjoyment of doing it. When the enjoyment fades, they fade, mm-hmm. they disappear.
And then we get a fork.
And then we get a fork. Yeah, you get a fork. Yeah. And then you get Nextcloud or whatever. So but when you can have the split where everybody can share in the revenue, it changes the game. Now it's no longer people just doing it simply out of the kindness of their heart.
Oh, and one other thing. I loved how the Homegrown Hits gals, they cut mm-hmm. to the live feed during their live show.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, but also the promotion this is where a pro like Julie Costello comes in. I heard, you know, Cody Christopher with Music Sidestream Podcast. He did a quick interview with Ainsley. There was Sam Sethi had Ainsley and Just Loud on Pod News Weekly Review. I mean, it was like a real, that's an industry, right? That's an industry. That's how an industry works. Not the podcast industrial complex. That's how an industry works together to promote things, to work together. And, you know, when Ainsley's on the Sidestream Music Podcast with Cody, he's streaming value. He gets value. She gets value. It's just value flying everywhere. I get up sometimes in the middle of the night. I'll be honest about
story
it.
Story time.
If I wake up, maybe sometimes you wake up at 3 a.m. I'm old now, so it happens. Like,
you got to pee. Yeah, you got the flow has to happen. Yeah.
And I will open up my Zap. I think it's still Zap World. They changed the name of it. They changed it to Bit Banana, whatever. And I use that one because I can bring up the podcast index node, and I will just watch and see one Satoshi at a time streaming in. And it makes me incredibly happy.
It's like watching a fish. I can imagine you at 3 o'clock in the morning staring at helipad.
It's basically a helipad, but you know, I see the whole index and I don't see boostograms or anything. It's just, I just see one sat, you know, 20 sats. Cause we're just getting a percentage of stuff. And some of it's for this podcast, so it may be a higher amount. But every minute there's 12, 15, 20 different payments per minute. And I just know that at that moment, there's people, 20 people around the world sending value to podcasters, musicians, apps, services.
I can give you my an early prediction, which was for the Pod News Weekly. My prediction for 2024 was it's just going to be all about collaboration.
Yeah.
Because you get so much access to not need to trust somebody for this payment's going to go here and then it'll get there eventually. And that, all that sort of just, I don't know, what would you call it? Wasting of time or just the non-directness of it. Mm-hmm. And so even when like looking, if you go on like TikTok or something and someone's got music and they're dancing and that becomes really popular, like the musician gets nothing of that. So it's just, yeah, with everything being connected like that and then being able to verify it and see it, that's a real game changer. Yeah,
this morning, as I woke up at six and I'm still jacked, and Tina asked some really good questions. She says, so how does it really work, the music business? How does it get played when a song's on the radio? And, you know, and I was running through all that, and, you know, and basically at the end of the day, after 48 months, you know, a penny drops into your piggy bank there, and that's it. And she, mm-hmm. and she just went, holy crap. And I wish I'd recorded it, 'cause I was really lucid. And I said, holy crap. No wonder everyone's so excited. So yes, exactly. And that's the magic that is created here. You know, it's like even advertising, and this will pivot into, I think, what is your clips, Dave? So yeah. Advertising a brand wants to advertise their product or service. They call their advertising agency. They say, we want to do this and that. You know what? Include some podcasting. Okay. Then the agency has their media planner. The media planner is going to look around, is going to figure out what the best thing is. And then the media planner is going to say, okay, they come up with a plan. We have some more meetings. The advertiser signs off on it. They sign off on a budget. Then the media buy goes out. And then the podcast, whether the, let's just say it's host reads, a mix of some host reads and some dynamically inserted ads. Of course, creative has to be made. All of that has to be approved and go through that process, or mistakenly, oh, let's just repurpose the radio ads. It doesn't matter. Then all of the podcast networks or the podcast shows, they have to sign affidavits and say, okay, these ads were delivered. This was delivered this many times, you know, and this is through the metrics, and here's the proof, it's IAB, and then that goes back to the agency, and the agency tallies that all up, it goes into their accounting, and then the accounting sends a bill to the client, net 90, so 90 days later, they're going to pay their agency, the agency takes a fee, there's all these, then the network takes a fee, and then finally, somewhere down the line, 4, 5, 6 months later, the podcaster gets a couple of dimes.
Yeah,
that's literally the process, and I only have one clip that I'll play here, and I believe that we are going to see agencies on behalf of their clients going to podcast networks, podcast shows, and they're going to say they want money back or they want make goods, because Rob Walsh of Libsyn said the quiet part out loud. Literally said this.
If shows have over 300 episodes, they could and should expect to see their total weekly downloads at the end of November be greater than a 25% drop below where their weekly numbers were in early September. Here's the thing, and I want people to remember this. Your audience size did not change. Those numbers, that those extra downloads that were happening to your back catalog, weren't being listened to. It's just right-sizing your downloads, your monthly and weekly downloads, to what's more realistic and what's really happening.
Well, thanks. So you overcharged me by 25% for the same amount of people. He literally just said that.
No, it's called right-sizing, Adam.
Oh, right-sizing. Okay, there you go.
Yeah. It's not, you didn't get ripped off. You got wrong sized. So that you need to right size that.
I mean, that's horrific.
Well, this is the same thing that causes, and this is the joy that I have right now, is to share with you that Todd's F-bomb.
Hold on a second. That's the second clip. Okay.
Oh, okay. It? Well, let's, we can know it. We can tease. We can tease the F-bomb, because I'm proud to say that I predicted on the last show that we would wear Todd down and that he would indeed adopt the alternate enclosure, because it
didn't take more than 20 hours.
When Todd discussing things with Todd is more is more of a negotiation than anything else. When he says no, that doesn't really mean no. It means I'm just not ready yet. And so like it means you need to change tactics. I'm happy to report that the cracks are forming.
Well, there is a little bit of initiative over at Podcasting 2.0.
Yeah.
It's early on what they're going to do. And so
well, the live thing is a big part of it.
Yeah,
too.
But
not just audio.
But
right?
What, you know, the idea that's been surfaced that seems to be pretty good is, yeah, sure. Blueberry supports video podcasting. You want one traditionally, you can have one. Okay. If you want one. Number two, if you decide to put your video over at wherever it may be, Twitch, Twitter,
Spotify,
YouTube, wherever you're going to put
it. Place you can put it, actually. Well, second in the list.
Okay, whatever. So if you want to put your video over there, you know, you can. But what we're going to do is do the alternate enclosure tag, which I vowed not to support from the main purpose of it, but I can see a use case going forward where we just link to the YouTube video in the alternate enclosure. We just basically provide a link to the episode link. So then when they're in the podcast app, they can still get their audio version, or if they want the video version that's served up from YouTube, they can do that as an embed right in the app, and it still keeps it in a podcast app.
Yeah. So welcome to the party. It's fine. We love you, Todd. And it's this, we will see you with full video alternate enclosure support in the near future. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I love this show so much. I was on my way back from Austin. I get in the car to drive back. I see the notification. It's only 2 minutes old. I'm like, oh, this is great. So I pop it on the car Bluetooth, and I'm driving, and I am just boostagramming like nuts. I'm like, I'm disowning Rob. What else was it? You know, they're like, hey, who's going to do chapters? I said, it's very easy to do chapters for your show. It's just chapter 1 through 10, Rob Shills for YouTube. You know,
this was the greatest episode of New Media Show that I've ever heard.
It was so funny.
Without a doubt. I mean, and so, in that vein, I mean, please F-bomb it.
We need to put some brakes on.
Why?
There's less than 0.5%
But Todd, why are we needing to put brakes
We need to quit pumping it up. There's very few people on podcasting site that has actually switched to video. It's not that big a numbers. It's not that many as compared to audio folks. We don't have to tell them to stop, but we need to quit hyping it as this new fucking frontier that everyone is got to be on. It's not true. I would say less than 5%, maybe less than 3% of podcasters currently are doing any video.
So this was to me the best part is this discussion between. And I've tried to make this point before it recently, is that this whole, it's become obvious to me that this schism between ad research, digital advertising research in the podcast industry and the hosting company / infrastructure is destined for a reckoning here.
Yeah.
Because the digital advertising industry is leading podcasters down one path, and the hosting companies, just like Todd is talking about here, the hosting companies see it for what it is, which is BS. Yeah. But the digital advertising companies, they're just dying to get everybody focused on video and YouTube. And he talks about that in clip 3, about the tension between those two.
What I'm saying is, what we need to recognize is that this is a unified audience that is audio and video.
I have no doubt, right? But we need to set expectations realistically for the average podcaster on what's going to happen when they go invest and do a whole bunch of work on video. Very
few. The content creator has to figure that out for themselves.
But we need to, okay. If I'm sitting here and saying video podcasting is the next biggest thing and this is where you need to invest your money, I'm doing a disservice to podcasters. I have to set an expectation level of what's going to happen when you do video. If you're going
to
do
video, you have to set a low expectation for what somebody might experience.
Because that's what's going to happen to 99% of people.
I appreciate what Todd is doing here, because this is exactly what happened in 2008. My balls were not as big as his. Only it was the venture capitalists. We had Pod Show, and we went so, because they were like, look at YouTube. YouTube had just launched. That's a $2 billion, blah, blah, blah. Look at Juiced. Remember Juiced?
I don't know.
J-O-O-S-T.
Oh, what a terrible name.
Oh, no, you got to be more like Juiced. Oh, yeah. This was like some video thing. I mean, I don't think anyone even remembers it, but it was hot for like 5 days. And we not only went all video, we changed the name to Mevio. We changed it away from Pod Show. We did all of that and failed spectacularly. Because it was the wrong thing to do. And we kept that company going for 10 years. 10 years, $65 million. We had revenue, but, the burn was just, eventually the burn, it just overtook the revenue because it wasn't there. And the costs were too high of a network. You can't monetize the network for a whole bunch of reasons. And if we had only done just audio and had gone to a different monetization model, if we had figured out value for value earlier, we might have made it. But no.
The whole time during this discussion, Rob's whole point was based on this research survey done by Sounds Profitable, and he just kept saying the research. And like I'm telling the Todd in clip four, Todd's trying to say, look, I don't care what your research says. I know what the reality of this is, and the research is wrong. And so he keeps talking, trying to convince him. And Rob can't see outside this research thing, which is the thing that is the problem.
All I'm saying is that if we keep hyping video, all right, let's start hyping video every day. You have to do video. Then someone about a year from now is going to say, Todd and Rob, why did you tell me to do video? I've had no success on video, but I've had great success with my audio program.
I didn't tell anybody to do video.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you are.
Well, this research is showing that.
For a segment of very big shows.
Okay. But if you look at these overall numbers that Tom shared. That
listening to very big shows. Where is the distribution amongst smaller shows on YouTube? It's not there.
Dave Jones, I love you for so many reasons. I'm going to tell you why I love, first of all, I love you too, Rob. And don't worry, Todd and Rob will have this conversation next week and the week after and the week after and the week after. Yeah. That will keep on going. And
if you miss this one, catch the rerun next week.
and just when I think I'm mad and I can't listen to it anymore, it gets entertaining. Yep. I was planning for my Sunday No Agenda show to clip, for similar reasons, but you're tying it together beautifully here on the media, which now I understand what you, because it's my hate list.
You know where
too.
I'm going, right?
Oh, of course. Yep. I know where you're going. You're going to the research.
Yep. And so the on the media, which you, this is a thing that you created within me. The hate listen. Now, Kyron, you don't have the joy in Australia of listening to on the media.
No, well, I don't personally have to.
Do you have a hate listen though?
No, there's nothing that I particularly do. No, there's tons of things where I'll go to it intentionally because I think it's dumb and want to see like if there's a reason, if there's something I'm missing.
No, that's a hate listen. I always wish that I could send boosts to these shows.
Oh, like, I do too. I wouldn't understand that.
I would be boosting big. I'd be boosting so big to these people. Like, this is stupid. Here's 100,000 sats. I wish I could do that.
What my hate listen then would be the scammiest crypto crap that I can find to see if there's anything, like any reason I should be focusing on anything really than Bitcoin. And there's not really.
If you don't, Kyron, if you don't have a hate listen, I highly suggest you go and get
one. It's good for you. It's good for
you. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's wonderful. On the media is now, I mean, like, it hits my podcast app and it's an immediate tab.
Right away.
Immediate. And so, like, so on the media this week, the beginning of it is like, it's just quoting all of these surveys that are saying that Trump is beating Biden in like everything. I mean, like swing states, Israel conflict,
economy, border, anything. Color blue, whatever. It's just
whether cilantro tastes good. I mean, like everything.
Kale's no good.
Yeah. So they bring on, they're like, okay, well, let's dig into this. Let's find out about surveys. Let's just research this a little bit. And they get this lady from, I think she's from the New York Times, because they did a joint poll with Siena College, and they start going over how they do these surveys. And this ties in with what Rob is basing his thing on, which is surveys. And they start off by talking about how the wording in surveys is crucial.
So let's talk about the way a question is framed, because it can mean anything and it can mean everything. Were there debates about the wording of any questions in these particular polls?
In any poll, but in particular this poll, we wanted to be very careful and conscientious in how we worded the questions, because, you know, we know that the conflict between Israel and Gaza right now is very complicated. And even that choice of words I had now is really complicated, right? We had to really think carefully about when we're saying Gaza, when we're saying Palestinians, when we're saying Israel, when we're saying the Israeli government. Each of those decisions was very, very careful. And with any poll, we spend a lot of time thinking about question wording with sort of two main goals.
I was literally cooking burgers outside when I was hate listening to this. I'm like, oh, this is so good. This is so good.
So what do you think the two main goals are?
Well, ask Kyron, because I heard it. I already heard it.
Oh, you already heard it. What are the two? When it comes to wording of survey questions, Kyron, what are the two main goals you can think of?
Oh, geez. They'd probably want some sort of participation. Like, I imagine if you're listening to a poll and you're ambivalent, then it's not good. They want a definite yes or a definite no. So participation, and then, I mean, like, they'd have their own bias, right? So they'll probably be leaning it one way or another. It's very hard to be truly neutral. So yeah, turning it to what they kind of want to hear.
Okay. All right. Let's see what she has to say.
The first is that a question feels fair to anybody who's being asked it. We want to represent every single voter in America, no matter their opinion, no matter where they sit on the political spectrum. And so that means that every voter in America should be able to look at these questions and say, I see myself in those answer choices. There's an answer choice there that represents how I feel. So that requires a lot of debate. And the second thing that we spend a lot of time doing is trying to ensure that the questions are interpreted the same by everybody who's answering them. Oftentimes with polls, we can get something what's called measurement error, where we think we're measuring something, but different respondents interpret it different ways. And so we, again, spend a lot of time being very careful and very precise.
Can you imagine that meeting? Can you imagine working there and sitting in that meeting?
I love these words. We call that fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And it's always, it's something you expect.
Measurement error.
Yeah. You're expecting it to be some really fancy term, but what do they call it? Measurement error. Well, yeah. It's like, it's this thing we call being wrong.
Wrong. I mean, like, being like, just wrong.
It's not a fancy term. It's just what it is. But so they go into this discussion about the example of how it's super critical that you have that you define the term ceasefire, right? If you're asking about the Israeli Gaza conflict and you define Gaza correctly, and you and they give an example of like five possible questions that you should ask in order to encompass all of the different points of view and all of the political spectrums and all of the nationalities and all of the different backgrounds, so that
and genders.
Yes. Everything, you have to encompass everything. So that takes at least like five or six different questions, but that's not actually what they did. They used a thing called forced choice in clip three.
So for me, as an analyst of polls, I wouldn't know how to interpret that data because everybody's bringing their own perspective to it. So instead, we had a forced choice option. Either Israel should stop its campaign in order to protect against civilian casualties, even if not all the hostages are released, or Israel should continue its military campaign until all the hostages are released, even if it means civilian casualties in Gaza might continue. Now, a lot of people might disagree with those answer choices, and I think it's very reasonable to disagree with those as the only two answer choices. But in doing that, we actually saw that the public is fairly split on that question, which I think is interesting. I think a good survey question does split the public more evenly.
I love this. It's like, do these guys kill those guys' baby worse than those guys kill those guys' babies worse? Give me your answer.
Everything that they said before about the carefulness of questions and the wording and the criticality and the 15 possible different answers you could do, forget all that. Forget all that. We're just going to give them two. We're going to give you two things to choose from, of which nobody probably agrees. And you know why? Why did they do that? Clip four.
Did you consider having more than two choices?
We did. We debated that pretty heavily. And there were times where we got close to having that as options. In the end, it makes it a lot more difficult to analyze the data, the more options that you provide.
Oh,
because it's hard.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why they didn't do it, because it's hard and it makes it really difficult.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about surveys and research from these agencies, you're getting nothing from them. You're getting absolutely zero.
Worse, you're getting what they want the answer to be.
Yes, forced choice. Now we know the term forced choice. We did a forced choice question.
Have you seen that recent meme of a guy wearing like a long earphone or AirPod or something like that, and he's being trying to. Someone's, I think it's on like a college university campus or something like that. And a guy's trying to force him to answer one of the questions and he's just refusing like blatantly to answer it. And it was something related to.
That was Palestine and Israel, I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, that's exactly that.
Yeah. No, I can't answer. I can't speak about Palestine. I can't speak about Hamas. No, I can't talk about that.
Yeah. Like, whenever it comes to research, you're getting the forced choice of because she said it's just like betting. You know, they always say that the betting lines are created in order to get even money on both sides of the bet.
Yeah.
Like, and so it's the same thing with this. She said we did a forced choice question so that we could get an even split. It's like, what? This is all useless, people. Come on. Like, and what Todd is cutting through all of that Gordian knot and saying, I don't care what the research says. I know what reality is. And reality is if a bunch of podcasters go off and try to do video, they're going to fail and they're going to be pissed.
Yeah.
I can attest to some of the video stuff, which was. When I think like one of the reasons people are like, what are the reasons that podcasters are being suggested to go to video? And it's typically because you feel like you're talking into the void. You're not getting any like reaction. You don't know what's happening. You see download numbers and then they reduce by 25%. And then you realize, oh wait, people weren't even like, they weren't real anyway. And so video is I think being kind of touted as that because you can see, you have to start playing the game of the algorithms, of course, but and virality, but you can luck into it in essence. And this is where I was like, you know, I did video for years, and I was half kind of like half doing audio, half video in terms of where my focus was. And when you do it like that, you're not going to succeed, because you need to be a YouTuber. So you need to think about your thumbnails more, how you're going to title things. The first 30 seconds needs to be super snappy, so you get retention and all of these sorts of things. and so then that ultimately gets to like, well, if you go in there to try and get that some sort of audience participation, what's linked to that, you know, then that's probably related to the whole advertising and how you make money from that as well. And that's just why I thought like V4V captured me, which was just, it just cuts through all that bullshit and solves those super easy, well, not super, the problems that I was having was like, how do I know that anyone's even listening? And, you know, getting a boost in and a message just cut through all of that.
Oh, that's interesting, because yeah.
I was gonna say, what other things have you learned? Because you have Mere Mortals, of course, and then Value for Value. Have you done two seasons of the Value for Value podcast?
Three now.
Three. And I'm starting the fourth one. Sorry, I'm behind. So what have you learned? I mean, you have been in the midst of it. You've talked to Value for Value people, non Value for Value people. You know, you've done video. Do you have just pure audio? I mean, tell me what you've really learned, and what will you be focusing on for 2024.
Yeah, it's great you asked that, because the latest episode was pretty much just covering all that, and so I can give you the highlights. I still notice that with book reviews, for example, they tend to, that there's definitely an audience more on YouTube for that, I think, than solely the audio. So for that one, I'm kind of optimizing for the video and going I don't like the virality chasing, spending all my time on thumbnail sort of thing. Like I don't know. I could still be swayed from that, but I am doing a lot more live, which makes things a lot easier.
Why do you think that book reviews work better on in video or specifically YouTube?
I have no idea. Huh. You know, this is the just like the weird things where it's just, perhaps because they're maybe a bit more timeless in terms of being able, people would are willing to look up like a Stoic book written from the early BCs, and maybe it's a bit more evergreen in that.
How are you measuring this? Are you measuring it by views versus?
Views, but also just like even the boostergrams, for example, they don't really come into the book reviews. Mm. And I've kind of talked about that as much as I have on across my other shows. So that's one thing. Leaning into the audience and where they're actually already at. So if you heard on the Pod News weekly review, this last one, they got a couple more boostergrams in from people that had never heard of before, which was ironic considering the week before they were saying how that it's all just the same people showing up. Mm. And one of those guys was, what was it? I boosted him just before. It was the late bloomer actor. And he was saying, you know, I'm doing V4V on my show, but no one's boosting in or commenting or anything like that. And so I went over to it and I just said like, hey, by the way, you probably need to go where the people already know about this stuff is. So yes, it helps if you have a Bitcoin show because, and you see that in the Fountain charts, for example, because they kind of already know it. And that experience is, you know, Bitcoin's hard to get. It takes a long time to kind of be convinced by it or use it. But as these things get easier, I definitely see leaning more into, you know, using True Fans, using Fountain, using the clipping on Podverse of the interactive features that all these things have, going to where people are already starting to use stuff. You know, it's pretty it's pretty obvious, but it also bears repeating. So going onto the Podcast Index website and to the Mastodon as well, and interacting there. So those are the kind of big ones. And yeah, just with video, it's very much, I just want to reiterate just how completely different it is from podcasting. And it's worth not trying to even just putting a pretty big distinction between the two, where if you think you can just start a video podcast and your workflow, the end product is going to be similar to the audio, it's not. It's going to be completely different. And so you just have to take the consequences of that. So if you want to be a YouTuber, you know, go for it, go ahead. But that's a pretty hard game. It's and takes a lot of time.
Yeah, that's the video thing. Like, I think it took me a little bit to sort of get used to it. Now I don't, like, I have a workflow and it doesn't really bother me anymore, because I know that I don't have to think about it 99% of the time. Until the only time I ever even think about the fact that I'm doing video on this stream for No Agenda Tube is when it gets towards the end, I have to do the donations. And I used to have to go and make sure I hide my screen, so when I bring my email yeah, up, exactly. And that kind of thing.
You don't want to show all the spreadsheet and the emails.
Yeah. 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 The email, you know, like, everybody doesn't need to see my email and stuff. So, but like, now with the Stream Deck, it's even easier because I just hit a button and I had my screen. So it's like, mm-hmm. I don't even think about the fact that there's video until like an hour and a half into the show. So it's fine. But at the beginning, that's all you're thinking about, your split brain.
Yeah, but you're not trying to grow your video, are you? You're not looking at how many downloads you get. And
some weeks I don't even do it. I mean, if I'm tired or something, yeah.
And then also your monetization, even though I hate that word, is not linked to how many views you get on YouTube, whereas that's what a lot of people are. It's like, oh, have I got my 4,000 hours for the year? Have I got my 1,000 subscribers?
If I do
a car video, the ad payout's better, you know, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, my brother-in-law in Italy, my sister has lived there now for 28 years, I think. And he is a quite well-known comedian. He's my age, like a couple of years younger. And he was very famous for, in Italy, you work for either Checagori or, you know, used to be Berlusconi, of course. It's still the Berlusconi organization, even though he's dead. And Checagori is kind of, they're both gangsters. You work for this gangster, you work for that gangster. And so he worked for the Checagori gangster, and he did a movie, Pinocchio, but it was kind of like an R/ almost X-rated version. You can imagine when the nose grows. And it was kind of like a cult hit. Like, every young guy in Italy, like, oh yeah, I remember that one. You know, kind of like Faces of Death.
That's the most Italian thing ever.
But he's done, you know, many, many small features and things. And he hit, all of a sudden, he hit really big on YouTube. And he would just do like a joke a day or something. He got the whole, you know, the plaque, the little YouTube award thing and everything. And now he got busy. So he had, you know, gigs, and he was going to gigs, and then his numbers really dropped off really quickly. And Willow, my sister, who just got her degree, she's a professor of psychology, specifically online media. So she did her whole dissertation on social media video and on TikTok and YouTube. She taught me a lot about this stuff. And of course, she had Italian numbers, and she had a good in with the Italian YouTube, which is very specific, you know, so it's kind of a segregated market. So you can, you know, can strip out a lot of stuff that isn't important because it's not in Italian. And what she learned was, A, you have to feed the algo. But she also learned that the title of his video, if it was something like, his joke was the broken umbrella, and he would title it the broken umbrella, the views would go through the roof. And she went and analyzed, and it's because people are on Google looking for broken umbrella.
Ugh.
How to fix a broken umbrella. And then they wind up at his video. And that was that's the number one driver, is Google search drives views to video. Of course, people then click on, like, oh, that's a funny joke. But that's what really drove it.
SEO play, essentially.
Yes.
It's a Google SEO juice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, this is all so gross, man.
Not as gross as this, baby. Come on. Let's talk about it for a moment. You want to see my Pinocchio video? Oh, yeah, baby. Just trying to wake you all up.
Wake up. That's just like so good. We don't want podcasting to be that.
No, of course not. Of course not. It won't be. We're smart. We're intelligent over here. We're intelligent.
Man, so I'm going to have to post this code publicly because I'm beating my head against the wall to try to get HTTP signatures working in ActivityPub.
This is for the fedifying of the index.
Yes. Yeah. I admit it. I am almost close to defeat on this. I cannot figure out. I'm at the point where I've been looking at it for too long and I can't see my own mistakes at this point. I'm comparing my Rust code to John Spurlock's mini pub code. Mm. And I cannot see what I'm doing different. And like his is in JavaScript, mine's in Rust. So I'm having to do some translation there, but it's a fairly straightforward thing. You hash the body of the request. And, here's where I'm at. The database is mostly there. It's functional. I can accept follow requests. That's been fine for a long time. But then when I try to accept the follow request, that involves sending an accept message back to the originating server. In order to make that function, there has to be an HTTP signature, which there has to be for a lot of interactions. But so this is the first interaction that's needing it. So I'm doing that part now. When I send back the acknowledgement to show that, it's okay, you're now following properly, the HTTP request has to be signed, which means it just needs a signature header. And the signature header consists of hashing the body of the request with SHA-256, base64 encoding it, then including it in the digest header, then taking the digest header and including that with some other headers and hashing all of that with SHA-256 and then signing it with the private key. And then inserting that as the signature header. I don't know what I'm doing wrong because I can't.
Oh, I know what you're doing wrong. All of it.
What?
All of it. You should be doing something else. 20. Go make love to your wife. Do something else. Stop this.
It's Christmas. What am I doing? I'm just going to have to post publicly and have somebody look and say, hey, idiot, you're missing a new line character here or something like that. I think I'm at
a bracket. That point. It's a bracket. There's got to be a bracket.
Yeah, it's something like it's something simple because like it's just not. I can't figure it out. So I'm going to do that this weekend. I'm going to post it, and then I'm appealing for help because if I can get this has been owning me for a week now.
2 weeks.
Every bit of coding time that I get. I'm going back to this. And so I built a new project with just the signing code in it. And then I've I can compile it and rapidly just iterate on just that where I'm taking, okay, here's a JSON body and here's my private key. I just want to do this. And it just gives me a weird result.
Have you tried ChatGPT?
I have not tried ChatGPT.
Why not?
Because I don't have ChatGPT. Because I refuse to give it my phone number.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm not giving it my phone number. I need a local LLM.
Well, I got one. I got an LLM.
Can you ask it that question for me?
If you send me the question, I can. Sure.
Just take the transcript of the show and feed it into
feed it in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And see what it says.
All right. Mine's rather slow, but yes, I will.
If I can get past this, then everything will fall into place, because the Activity Pub bridge is going to be important. I had a long conversation with my buddy, Tim, the other day about this a bit. We were talking about Noster and Activity Pub and all these kinds of things. And I just think that Activity Pub is, you know, WordPress is got the new Activity Pub plugin. I feel like Activity Pub is about to blow up as far as adoption goes.
It sure seems that way.
It's coiling and it's about to unload.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So I really think this is important for people to be able to natively interact with podcasts, you know, stuff over Activity Pub. So I'll post it and then everybody can tell me where I'm dumb at.
Should we thank a few people?
Oh yeah, sure. Let's thank some people.
We've been getting some live boosts during this boardroom after dark. Now Ken Code has showed up, and I have my helipad open all day long, and he's a hiver. So he's got a lot of a lot of boosts, and I'm not quite sure exactly Hive Tube. What exactly is Hive Tube?
Yeah, that's Hive Tube is the fork of
PeerTube
with all of Alex's stuff in it.
And does it do? Does it work on Hive or does it work on? I'm Lightning.
No, I don't think it's Hive specific. I think it's just
called Hive Tube.
I think so. I may be wrong.
He has a lot to say. 1,000 sats from Ken Code. Cast.garden, a podcast host powered by Hive Tube, pushes the P2P live streaming cross app comments and syndication hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
Another 1,000 sats. I look forward to way less ads or more boosts and Hive rewards. Okay, so that's definitely Hive.
That's definitely Hive.
Likes and tips. Oh, that's Hive. Get to it, podcasters. Then we have 3521 from Rene Knige. Hello, Rene. He says, woke up to walk our new puppy at 3:30 in the morning. He's in Holland. Sleeping on the couch to keep her company. Great to hear you guys live.
Get a hate listen. It's easier than a pet.
It's better. It's better than that. 12345 from Harv Hat. Merry Christmas. Thank you, Harv Hat. Suppio Sup. Short Row of Ducks. He gave two karma pluses to Booberry with 2222. Salty Crayon, 1976. Love the hot spot. Love the hot namespace talk in these hours. Get offended. I'm saying Merry Christmas. I love what Dobie Dust. Yeah, right. I love what Dobie Dust has accomplished in the V4V live concert. I'm loyal to building with those IT structure. I love what we are building. I'm all in 5x5 for it. Support your local independent artists. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting.
And there he is, Dreb Scott. Like he hasn't supported the entire industry enough. He comes in with 60,000 sats. Super boost, he says.
Boost!
We get 11,111 from Booberry. There's so much that's been running through my mind over the last week. It's an experience that will hold closely for a long, long time. To finish what I started, on the next Before the Schemes, I will be reading off every single boost that came through. In the words of Alex Jones, I have to do it all!
Did Alex say that?
I guess.
Okay.
More like, I have to do it. Eric PP, 33,333. No note, but thank you. We have Chad F with 1,000 sats. Podverse has IRC chat, but on mobile, if you switch apps for too long, you get kicked out of the chat room. Ah. Yes, this is another thing that we've seen. The iOS seems to be really crappy with stuff going in the background, that's for sure.
Really crappy, ..
Yeah. Let's see. Herbivore Band, 300 sats. Thank you. Anonymous Podcast Guru User, 2,222, says, go Kyron! Has 6,000 sats. And Kyron, of course, is in our value block today. 6,000 sats from Dreb Scott, cleaning my boost cannons after the last 2 days of V4V music boosting. Oh, he just cleans his cannon and it's 6,000 sats. That's how it goes.
Sometimes it just squirts out.
Tone Wrecker 5150 scraping together some support sats after last night's Minneapolis music streams was a great night. Props to the builders who made it possible. Yeah, I had to reload my my wallet a couple times too. It was fun.
I loaded it up with like about $50 on Thursday morning.
It was fun to load. let's see. Dovidos, 20,000 sats. I won't be able to listen live. We'll be busy sleeping, I bet. But Merry Christmas, Adam, Dave, and Kyron. Thank you, brother.
Merry Christmas.
And I think, that's where we are with the live boosts.
Oh, okay. Well, Marco Arma gave us $500 through PayPal.
Baller! Shakala! 20-inch blaze on the Impala!
Thank you, Marco. We so appreciate that you support us, brother.
Yeah, thank you, Marco. Appreciate that. And Merry Christmas to you and yours. Thank you for all the support every month forever. Appreciate that. We've got some boosts. We've got, Chris from Jupiter Broadcasting, Chris Lass, through Fountain, 68,848
sats.
Boost. Nice. Thank you.
He says, Dave, check out BitFocus to go with that Stream Deck on Linux. We use it to control OBS, Soundboard, our DAW, and run scripts via SSH connections. BitFocus is worth the 15 minutes to try with the Stream Deck on Linux. Happy holidays, guys. You sent me a screenshot of this.
Yes.
From
helipad. Right? Yeah, exactly. Because I'm like, this is what, instead of Dave going off to build a Windows box, I'm like, this will not stand.
Which I did. Build a Windows box. And then you sent me the screenshot of this that night after I had already built it. So I said, oh, screw it. I'll try this. That's what I'm using right now. I'm using BitFocus on Ubuntu, cool. And he's right. It's awesome.
Cool.
What boost thing is number killer. Was that, Dave?
Do what?
What boost number was that?
68,848.
848, because they do zip code boosts over at Jupiter Broadcasting.
That's right. They do cool stuff like that. I like the zip code boost. That is cool. Let's
see, what is zip code 68,848?
I think it's Nebraska. Keanu, Nebraska.
He's in Washington. Maybe coincidence. I don't know.
Maybe not.
so the Stream Deck. Should I get one just to have it in my house? I mean, is it cool? Is it something I just need in my life?
The Stream Deck.
Yeah. If I'm not streaming.
Well, I mean, it does so much. Like it's killer because it doesn't just do. It's basically an outboard
macro keyboard. Runner.
Macro runner. Yeah. So you can make it do, you can make it do automation stuff. So you can have it turn on, wall outlets. you can have it, send SSH commands to servers.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it's badass. It is so cool.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. I've barely scratched the surface with it, but as long as you have the right, so the software runs as a daemon on the computer, and then you have it connect to like a WebSocket or something like that. So OBS has a WebSocket, and then the daemon connects to OBS through that, and then it monitors the connection. So then you can have it connect to other daemons that do other things. So you can have it launch software on your computer, trigger sounds. It could be a MIDI control. It can like do everything.
Wow.
Yeah, it's badass. Thank Chris. Appreciate that. We got Sir Brown of London, 21940, super Israeli boost, 21948 through Castomatic. He says, I think I'm lucky here in Israel. I get rockets from Hamas. Sure, but I have a bomb shelter. Meantime, I get no ads. Meantime, I get no ads and news agents.
Well, there's that. There's no ads and news agent, but there's rockets. It's minor.
It's a trade-off. Yeah.
I love how there's no reporting on the rockets, because the rockets just keep coming.
I mean, like every few hours.
Yeah.
I think I hear where they're supposed to run, but straight back to the show. VPN to Israel for that ad-free experience. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. What's over now, Hanukkah?
Yeah. Or as we say in the South, Chanukkah.
Chanukkah, y'all.
Oppie 1984, 4,000 sats through Fountain. He says, I apologize for apologizing. LOL. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. It's okay. Apology accepted.
Yes. Both of them. Mark Lundgren, a Satchel of Richards, 1111 through Fountain. He says, boot. Did I have a boot last week? Oh, I did have a boot last week. Hold yeah, on, I went
my,
silent.
Where's my boot? Where is it? Oh,
boot!
There it is. I knew I had it somewhere.
I got a slew of ISOs. So yeah,
I know. I already have one queued up. No, thank you. I have one queued up. But I haven't even heard it, but I think it's good.
Okay. Mary Oscar, also known as Oscar Mary, 10,000 sats through Fountain. Thank you, Mary Oscar. He says, resolving the key send address is really not that big of a lift, in my opinion. Apps can cache the results just like they already cache lots of other information about the podcast episode feed. On another note, Fountain 1.0 live next week.
Yeah, it's killer. All the new versions of the apps are killer. They're just all great. Yeah. Like you said earlier, like we've grown up. Our children have grown up.
Oh,
yes. Launch.
They are. They've all crossed a threshold into being very stable, reliable, fast apps.
Fast. And just easy to navigate. Things are working. It's beautiful.
I wish I'd taken more screenshots of the apps just to be able to look back at, you know, 2 years ago what it looked like, or just like when sometimes on Mastodon I'll go back and see, you know, Adam, you talked about having 58,000 sats flowing through the podcast index per day.
Woo! like, oh, that's great. Yeah, 58,000 a day, ladies and gentlemen. Can you believe that? How long ago? Was that 3 years ago? 2 years.
2 years, I think.
That's fantastic.
Let's see. We've got over the last 7 days. I'm looking at the chart right now.
My dentist sent me a before and after of my teeth. That was scary.
Ew.
Oh, yeah.
You probably want to just burn that one.
Totally. I'm not posting it.
Over the last 7 days, 18,004,632 sets.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So it's a little over $1,000 a day going through. Gene Bean, 1337 through Castomatic. He says, Adam, for what it's worth, Chris Fisher at Jupiter Broadcasting has been talking about the podcast Winter for quite a long time now.
Oh.
I mentioned this simply to say it's not just you that sees it.
Does he call it the podcast Winter, though? The actual podcast Winter? That's interesting.
No.
Well, he's right.
Ad apocalypse or something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, same. But podcast Winter is a bigger, it flows from the adpocalypse and from, you know, Spotify's failure and, you know, just bad news all around, you know, bad news. Meanwhile, it's not bad news. This is a great time to be a podcast, and especially to have music in your podcast. Oh, what an exciting time.
I'm going to start doing that Winter on all my shows. Start What's putting that? In value for value music as like the intros and pre-live stream, post-live stream.
Yeah. Excellent.
It's a podcast winter, but it's a music summer. Alan C. Paul, 2,000 sats. Through Fountain, he says, spot on. The music analogy is very appropriate, and it's the same thing that happened in the music industry. Individuality was squashed in an effort to make masses follow along.
I think Alan C. Paul, I think I met him at the Spark Media Conference.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Because I don't recognize that name. He's a new booster.
Yes. He sent us a 21-day devotional for creatives, which is pretty interesting, awesome, which I've been following. Yeah. I think that's Alan C. Paul. Yeah. Cool, man.
Cole McCormick, 7777 through Fountain, Striper Boost. He says, if you want to continue the discussion of the alternate enclosure and what hosting companies can do better at, check out episode 101 of America Plus. The creator of Pod Home, Barry, spoke with me about his vision and plan for the company. He's legit. Go podcasting.
I heard that interview. Barry is legit. I listened to that interview. It was great. It was also deep about Barry himself and his background and, you know, mushrooms and all kinds mushrooms. Of it. Oh yeah. That was an interesting conversation. That's a pretty fun podcast to listen to.
Oh, okay. Podcast hosting and shrooms. All right. we need to get Barry on the show.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah. Gene Everett, 3333 through Fountain. He says, boost the toot. Okay.
Boost.
Kevin Bay, oh, Baller Boost, 122523 through Podverse.
Whoa, nice. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. He says, Christmas Boost. Merry Christmas, gentlemen.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate that. Kevin's been around forever. He's a long timer. John, see if we got some for John. JSC 2233 through Podverse says, Merry Christmas, guys. By the way, Adam, how is Texas Slim doing? Is he still around?
Oh, good question. Texas Slim was in Thailand for several months. And, you know, he had intended to retire there before he got dragged into saving American children by getting them to eat American, you know, grass-fed, grain-finished beef. And he was basically doing a tour through northern Thailand on motorcycle. He's badass. And, yes, but I think he might have come back today or 2 days ago. So, I think you'll see Texas Slim start to crank up, some stuff again.
I rode a motorcycle for many years and, like every day to work and back. And I had a BMW 650 GS.
Ooh, with the cylinder sticking out on the side.
No, that's the 1200 GS. Oh,
I love that.
I
love
had
that.
The 650. Mm-hmm. This thing got over 70 miles to the gallon. That's why I rode it. But it was a cross country just like the 1200 GS. Like it could go anywhere.
Wow.
Yeah, but the guy that bought it from me, when I finally sold it, he works up in the defense, area up in North Alabama. And so he would work for, I don't know why, I think it's the Texas Slim stuff reminded me of this. He would work for like 3 years and then build up enough cash. And then he would, him and his dad would go and buy motorcycles and like spend a year going across some continent.
Wow.
And then they would come back and he would just do it all over again. He'd just do this cycle. Wow. Yeah, it was crazy, man. Yeah. He was buying my motorcycle to ride across West Africa when they.
So, like Texas Slim, no wife, no kids.
Pretty much, yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. There's a correlation there for something.
Yes, there is. Jay Moon, 5,033 sats through Podcast Index. He says, ooh. "Merry Christmas, gentlemen, to you and your families."
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jay Moon. Dovey Doss. Through 20,000 sats through Fountain. He says, it won't be able to listen live. We'll be busy. Oh, you already got that one.
Yeah. Fat streamer.
Got that one.
Did you get Tone Wrecker?
I think I got Tone Wrecker. What did Tone Wrecker say?
Scraping together some support sats after last night's Minneapolis music streams.
Yes. Yeah, we got that one.
Okay. Yep. All right, we're good on that.
A couple new ones that came in.
Okay.
2112. Hey, 2112. That's isn't that a rush boost? That's a rush boost. But this is from Getty is God.
Oh, I don't know if he's God, but he's really good at the bass.
And it's from the Podcast Index. The node pub key and custom data in the RSS feed value split is the cache. If it succeeds, that's what they call a cache hit, and everything is golden. If it fails, then you fetch from the key send value. Does that make any sense to you, Dave?
It does. Yeah. Yeah. He's saying try that first, then fall back to resolving the address if it doesn't work.
Got it.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and yeah. Jeff Ron C 777. Merry Christmas. Thank you. And Gene Everett, boost, boost, boost. My first time catching it live. And there you go.
Oh,
those,
cool.
Those are live boosts. Thank you very much.
Welcome, Gene.
Thank you.
And we got some monthlies. We got, Trevor at Xenor, $5. He's from Down Under. Thank you, Trevor. Charles Current, $5. Michael Goggin, $5. Christopher Reamer, $10. Sean McCune, $20. Thank you, Sean. Cohen Glotzbach, $5. James Sullivan, $10. And we got a new monthly subscriber, Michael Hall, $5.50.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. And we got Kevin Bay also sent us $3.54 from the Podcast Index Endowment Fund.
Oh,
thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. That truly is an endowment. Let me check the tally coin real quick. You know, we just do it because this is where I say that you can support us value for value, supporting the whole index, the whole project. It all goes into the project, nothing on the tally coin. But if you want to go look at nothing on the tally coin, you can go to podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom, two red donate buttons, one for your fiat fund coupons through PayPal, which we appreciate. The other one for your on-chain Bitcoin. Everyone told us, I'll be sending you full coin. OK, Okay. And of course, what we really want is for you to get a modern podcast app, podcastapps.com. You grab one. They're mature. They're good. They rock. You can integrate now with all kinds of different payment systems. Strike seems to be working well for people. Cash App still a way to get money in and working. It gets, as Kyron said earlier, it's getting easier and easier. And we really appreciate that as a way for you to send us value for the value that the show and the whole project provides. Thank you again for supporting Podcasting 2.0.
Yeah.
Kyron?
We got to talk next week. Next week, we got to get into more of a, we got to start talking about 2024 and what we're going to focus on.
Yes. Well, you're going to tell us. You're the pod sage.
I will.
You're going to tell us what we're going to focus on, which will probably be this serializing your HTTPS signature for the Fediverse. Whatever that thing is that you need done. That'll be the first thing that needs to be done.
Yes.
We've got to fix that. Kyron, any closing words, my friend?
Oh, I just wanted to thank you guys so much for everything that you do. Like it needs no repeating, but it's you've completely changed my life in terms of like the podcasting and how the direction I wanted to focus on and go down. So just coming across what both of you have done is just was spearheaded along with everyone else, of course, has been truly, truly amazing. So an early Christmas for me, definitely appearing on the show as well. One question I did want to ask was the Bitcoin meetup Bitcoin event in July. Is there any news on that? Are you still got a slot on the stage? What's the go with that?
Well, they reached out to me and it was a very weird conversation. They said, you know, we'd love to have you on stage. So, okay, here's the idea. I'm happy to do like a speech, a keynote, you know, whatever. And then I'd like to do we'd like you to do a panel. It's like, great, I'll do a panel. And I'd like to have a musician, a podcaster, app developer. And they said, great. And we'd want to have a politician and a Noster guy. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. No. I said, it's podcasting 2.0. Well, but you know, the draw of someone like Tucker Carlson, like, no, ooh. No, I don't want Tucker Carlson on stage.
Why?
No, I don't know. It's like, well, you know, we want the PR value. It's like, oh, okay. And that was the last I heard from them. So I have to say, Dave, you're going, right? Do you have tickets, Dave? Do you get tickets?
No, I don't have tickets because I've been trying to, I've been waiting to see, you know, if we even needed them, because I just don't know what's happening. I mean, I plan on going because it's so close to my house. I mean, it's only 2 hours away.
Right.
It's in Nashville and I'm in Birmingham. And so I planned on going, but I'm like, well, I don't know if I need tickets because I don't know if we're actually going to do a presentation or anything.
I'll reach out to them. I mean, I think there's enough people are going to be going, Kyron, that it's always fun to meet up with people.
That was my plan, no matter what.
So. Yeah, and you know the fact that if you're coming, and I'm sure Oscar is going to be there. Dave, if you're there, I mean, you know, I'm not quite sure what days it is because you know I don't like producing stuff on the road because I have to keep kind of my day job going. But you know,
it's Thursday through Saturday is the days of the event.
Of course, couldn't be any worse. Yeah. So I'm not sure, but I will get an answer from those guys because I think it'll be fun to do that. I think we could, we could do the V4V live. I'd like, and I was telling, it was like, we have all this cool stuff and we can have boostograms that show up on the screens. We can have QR codes for people to participate in the audience. It was like, yeah. And Tucker Carlson, like,
this is such a weird thing.
It was very weird.
That.
Well, you know, because we need big names. I'm like, what do you want? Do you want to have a conference that informs people and shows good stuff that's going on? Or
Did you tell him Kyron's coming?
There you go. And I just said, hey, baby, we're going to have a nice little sesh on stage. Kyron's coming. That's right. We got the pod sage on the stage. Yeah, baby.
Please don't ever say sesh again.
You don't like sesh?
No. That's wrong.
Thank you very much, Boardroom. Thank you, everybody who showed up at this late hour. Thank you for those who are tuning in late from overseas. Ah, baby. Yeah, you made it so extra special tonight. Kyron, is it lunchtime for you?
It's just past it, but yeah.
Okay. Well, enjoy your lunch. Dave, my brother, you have yourself a great weekend.
You too, man.
And
you too, have a good Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas.
That's right. Yep. We said it. Merry Christmas. And that'll do it for Podcasting 2.0 for our pre-Christmas show. As we get ready. Whoa, that's loud. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Don't forget the beer.
Go podcasting!